Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, and Lakerholics.com, plus the great folks at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, we got to talk to Joe Sorrell of LakersBall.com recently. I also got a chance to talk to my good friends at Lakerholics.com, Magic Man Sean Grice, also as well Laker Tom, and of course Spencer Young from Basketball University. All of us are talking about the Lakers and what they did in the offseason, but also who might be some contenders to the throne as well for next year's championship. But here today to share his thoughts on which player outside of the big three may make a difference on the Lakers team, plus some early thoughts on the Western and Eastern Conference, and his thoughts on his all-time top 10 Lakers team, because he hasn't even weighed in on that yet. He's a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today at 5 things. Okay. 5 stars you give five me stars, on right, Apple exactly. Podcast, yes. And you give him 5 things on Lakerholics.com. Exactly. It is, yes, it's our own Admiral Akbar himself, Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, great to have you back on. Glad you could make it this time around.
Thanks, Gerald. I can't Admiral Akbar the offseason, I feel like. I mean, I guess you could.
You could, but trust me, you could.
Yeah, take that back. We could get you. Akbar be Mozgov'd is what that would actually Otto should be called. So
yeah, and then Luol Deng'd as well. We're still being Luol Deng'd.
We're still
for one more year.
This is
one
the,
more
this
year.
Is the, dang, it's the final year.
Yes, dang indeed. Wow. But dang. Great to have you here, my friend. Before we get to the all-time top 10 Lakers for you, because you've already heard the list, especially from the guys at LakerHolics.com. Wanted to go ahead and talk to you first off, Lakers. We'll get started in that right now. We obviously know that Russell Westbrook is here. You're a big fan of it, which kind of surprised me because we kind of deviated a little bit on that for once. Usually we do the tag team on Laker Tom and that handicap match, but today it's you are actually aligning yourself with Team Laker Tom in the fact that you actually fully endorse the Russell Westbrook trade and signing and whatnot. I like it, but again, for me, it's more about the playoffs and the fit for the playoffs and the matchups for the playoffs, as opposed to anything he'll do in the regular season, because I think he'll be just fine in the regular season. I think he'll go ahead and his motivation and the way he plays each and every game. I think that if provided he's healthy and if the Lakers are healthy, I think it's going to be a nice 50 plus win season. Whether or not they want to stay at number one or be number one, I think that's really up to them at this point, you know, as long as they're healthy, because right. We've seen before where they just go into cruise control and, you know, say, okay, yeah, we're just waiting for the playoffs and whatnot. Right. And we can gauge that over the course of the season and we can actually tell when that's happening. But which player outside of that? Because the Lakers made a whole bunch of moves. And we actually remarked on this on the other show with the Lakerholics crew, that the bubble was a fantastic. The Lakers won the championship in the bubble. But since then, in less than 12 months, they've gotten rid of everybody outside of THT, LeBron, and AD. And even at the end of this past season, a couple months ago, they've gotten rid of everybody outside of those three and Marcus Saul.
Right.
A whole new roster, basically.
Right, yeah.
So
no, it's astounding.
Yeah, but not even the two-way guys they kept. But I want to hear your thoughts, my friend, on this. Well, thank goodness that. And your good friend, Mr. Laker Tom's good friend, I should say, Jared Dudley, he has, as of yet, has not been signed. Thank goodness.
And let's hope it's in that way. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I like Duds, but, you know.
You need players that can actually play and actually do things for you out on the court. But be that as it may, my friend, I mean, which Laker player will make the biggest difference to you after the big three?
Jared Dudley. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you want to get kicked off the show?
I know, right? No, never. You know, I think this is going to be a little weird. I think it's going to be Kendrick Nunn for me. If Kendrick Nunn can make enough plays to either slot in as, you know, the other guard next to Russell Westbrook so that Russ has a shooter that can also handle the ball, or, you know, there's a little bit more playmaking out there. If he can force his way onto the court consistently, especially in crunch time on the defensive and offensive end, I think that's a great thing for the Lakers, because you would want to hopefully see somebody who's young sort of merging with AD in some way, in a career arc that matches with AD more than LeBron or Russ. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a 2-ish year window, but hopefully AD is for another contract after this one, in theory, right? Like, that would be the hope. So who plays with AD after this contract? And I think for this season, you know, if none's making a difference on both sides of the court at the one of the guard positions, you know, that's a lot more than we were getting out of the two guard positions last season. If Westbrook can find a way to both be productive without taking anything away from LeBron or Anthony Davis, I think that's going to be the biggest key to this, both the regular season and the off season.
I think you're following the lead of what most people are saying. Most people have interviewed, and myself as well, that I think Kendrick Nunn, outside of the big three, may be the only individual that scores in double figures. Even with Carmelo Anthony, one of the top 10 scorers of all time, I think he's going to be limited in his playing time and thus his effectiveness out there on the court. I think that will save him maybe for either later in the season or in the playoffs, as far as to give him more blow then. And if that's the case, you will not see him actually score in double figures, maybe around 9 points a game. We're thinking that, give or take, maybe 10. I'm not sure, but I think if there's any one player that's going to score in double digits outside the big three, it's going to be Kendrick Nunn, because he's got something to prove. I know Malik Monk has something to prove, but he's very inconsistent in his pass, and his defense is very suspect, so we don't know how much burn he's going to get. They're all over 30, so we don't know how much they're going to give us. The one mitigating factor throughout all this is Kendrick Nunn, and the fact that he signed the contract that he did with 1 year and an option. And I don't think if he plays well enough, he's going to keep that option. He's going to be out in the free agency, and hopefully the Lakers can do what they can to sign him. Because if he goes out there next year and wants a big contract and plays like he wants a big contract, unlike Dennis Schroeder, and I love burning that in on there, I think that he will be having a great season. I think he'll living up to that, a lot of that potential that I thought he could have lived out in Miami. So I'm looking forward to that. I think Kendrick Nunn is a step that's probably the right pick to make at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, my wild card is whomever plays at center, whenever they play somebody not Anthony Davis at center, whatever that is. That's kind of my wild card, because I feel like, I mean, my number one thing going into next season is I feel like Anthony Davis has to play it at an MVP conversational level for us to have any shot at all of doing anything special in the playoffs. If he's having kind of like a, I'm here tonight and kind of here the next night, and you know what I mean? If he's that kind of up and down, like he was as much more, you know, more so last season than the season before, but. And you can't, you know, I'm not saying just always like scoring 30 points or, you know, double digits, this or that, but just the effort and the focus that you can sometimes see comes and goes that I don't feel like it does for Russell Westbrook ever or LeBron James. So that's, I think, you know, that's, I feel like another thing that Russ is going to bring is a fire and a focus, because he hasn't won a ring. He's taken a lot of flack and, you know, I think he would very much enjoy winning a ring in any way, shape, or form, as many players would. But I mean, Russ has taken a lot of flack for being, you know, a really good basketball player. Some of it, you know, I would argue, you know, well deserved. You know, he's earned some of the critiques. So
I agree with you on that. He has earned some of the critiques. I mean, again, I always hate to point it out, but I am going to point it out. Statistically, he is one of the worst shooters of all time. And he, even if he misses, will still continue to put the ball up. And something, sometimes that's going to be really, really bad for his team that he's playing for. I mean, you know, I don't know, one of the old adages in basketball is, you know, get them to shoot and keep shooting until they get out of their funk. With Russell, that is yet to happen. So no, he's got to make sure that he's got to make sure that the shots he takes are straight at the rim. I know that it's not as prevalent or as proficient as it once was when he was one of the highest statistical individuals at going to the rim. Yeah. He's still pretty good at it. I still think that's what he should do as his bread and butter. If he decides to ever commit to the pick and roll, maybe he'll be a lot more effective there. Or if he's, you know, doesn't have the ball and LeBron does, maybe using him as a cutter. Just imagine there with his quick moves. I think that could be something that would be really great if he committed to that. But a lot of ifs there when it comes to Russell Westbrook.
I mean, you want a good rebounding team around Russ, right? And we do. We have LeBron, we have AD, we have Russ, who's a great rebounder. You know, because if, let's say he shoots overall 45%, which would be high for him, right? Probably we're looking at like his overall shooting percentage will be 43, 44, and I mean from everywhere. If he shoots smart threes, all just that, I feel like his effectiveness will go up a lot. Michael H. on Lakerholics posted some stats of the type of shots that Russ should take, because his pull-up dribble shots are terrible from everywhere. Yep. Catch and shoot, he's like a 40% shooter. Basically, it's like get to a spot and shoot from there. Don't create your own three. Like that's not your thing. Like that, if he can figure that out and accept that, then I think that he will be as much of a spacer as you need him to be. He won't be the space creator that Chris Paul is, or I mean, their games are completely different. You know, they're two completely opposite ends of the point guard spectrum. So, you know, if he can be decent from three, I like our chances in any seven game series. And that's, I think, going back to Kendrick Nunn, where you hope that Kendrick Nunn is going into the playoffs with some mojo of some sort, so that, like, if it comes down to it and you need to be like, listen, you know, you came here to win a ring, Russ, like, Kendrick Nunn's going on for the last 45 seconds and you're going to sit down because you know, you've shot 10 3-pointers and you've missed them all. Like, you know what I mean? Like if Frank can be that kind of coach and be able to, like, if should such a situation arise, or Carmelo or whoever's hot that game. And if Russ is not hot in a playoff game, it can, that will be, those are the moments that will define next season.
Rest assured.
As you say, very often, the regular season will not define next season unless it's marred by injury or tragedy of some sort. You know, that's the only way.
Rest assured, with Russell Westbrook down the team, it will be very interesting, whatever the outcome may be.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yes.
I mean, same for a lot of our guys, you know, but Russ especially.
Russ. Yeah.
Dwight and Russ.
Yeah. It'd be very interesting indeed.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift, where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on the Podcast Radio Network and Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. But my friend, there's still much more to talk about on today's program and the Western and Eastern Conference. Let's start with the Western Conference first. Vegas here still has the Lakers out as one of the favorites, the favorite coming out of the Western Conference, second behind the Brooklyn Nets. And I think that's – and Laker Tom's going to scream bloody murder on this, but I think that's about right. I mean, when you consider the fact that this is a new three that's being formed as opposed to Brooklyn, which is already an established three.
Right.
Provided that they're all healthy. And the, I guess the Patty Mills signing, I think, was a killer. I really think that was a good one. I really was hoping that he would end up on the team.
Me too. Yeah. That was pretty clutch for them. I was like, yeah, that basically means any one of those three can get hurt. And like, they can go, all right, Patty, come on.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of pressure off of Joe Harris.
Right.
So he doesn't feel like he has to go ahead and be the shooter. And of course, he may not be in there in times where he was choking in that late game scenario. It may be Patty Mills there, which you might feel a lot more confident about, just the fact that he might execute a little bit better under pressure than Joe Harris would.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're getting a basketball mind who's also got great three-point shooting skills and can, you know, run. He's not like, you know, he's like a Jordan Farmer, like level point guard when it comes to playmaking. He's not the greatest playmaker, but he can get you some points. He'll collapse the defense if he needs to, or take the open shot from three. Yeah. That's the main thing. Like they need guys that one of those three do drive into the rim can just go like shoot it, bro.
And he went to the Laker Tom school of not being shy when you're shooting. So that's something.
He has his volume PhD.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you this. Okay. Actually, you know, we'll switch to the Eastern Conference. We already started talking about Brooklyn. Obviously, Milwaukee's there as the champions, and obviously they have their own really good three. It's just about what's being assembled around them and to get them through the season. So I think those two are pretty much set. I know everybody's been kind of up and down in Philadelphia because of the fact of what went on with the Ben Simmons saga, the fact he's not been traded yet, the fact he's still there, and we don't know about the fact is if he has improved his shooting in any way, shape, or form. I know he didn't play for Team Australia this year in the Olympics, so the people were kind of bummed about that down there. And I think that that could have helped him. I know he was working on his shot, but maybe it would have helped him if he actually did it in more of a game scenario, even though they weren't playing in front of crowds. I still think it probably would have been a good decision for him to make. But your thoughts on Philadelphia, Miami, Atlanta after their surprise trip to the conference finals last year. Do you see any of these developing into a, I guess maybe that scenery where Milwaukee and Brooklyn are at right now? Do you see any of those teams sliding up, or is it another team that you have in mind?
I mean, I break the East into three tiers. One, there's the three at the top, which in my mind has been pretty consistently for the last few seasons: Milwaukee, Philly, and
Brooklyn.
Just last season. Not Philly and Milwaukee, I feel like, have been on top for a lot longer, and Brooklyn just kind of got there when they assembled the trio. So, but yeah, for this season, Brooklyn, and then after that, I have Boston. Miami, even Boston might be slipping into tier three this, the last couple of seasons. They haven't just had much going on in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I actually think it's which of these young teams that came out of nowhere to break into the playoffs and do some damage, especially Atlanta, is the team that's like poised to start to challenge for one of those top three spots.
And do you think they're ready? I mean, they were ready, obviously, this past season to get to the conference finals. And one Trae Young injury away, thank you, Ruff, from possibly even being in the finals.
Right.
I mean, the same scenario that we talk about Phoenix all the time on the show is the same scenario that Milwaukee faced. They got some lucky breaks with the other team getting injured. Same thing happened to Brooklyn, where they had injuries with an injured Harden and an injured Irving. And if Kevin Durant's shoe size was smaller, I mean, they would have gone on to right. Eastern Conference Finals instead of Milwaukee.
A couple of shots separated them from going home to, you know, moving ahead. And that's the beauty of the NBA playoffs.
But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, is there any team outside of those two? Do you see Atlanta becoming maybe possibly one of those teams that could fit that role as a major Eastern Conference contender? I mean, I think they've got the talent. In fact, they could be 1-12, 1-15, have as much talent right. as any team in the Eastern Conference outside of Brooklyn.
Yep.
And if that's the case, I mean, they can really match up well with a lot of people. The only thing is experience, but, you know, as I was told to me time and time again, Laker Tom was experience. And I know that counts for quite a bit, but a lot of these young kids are growing up real fast, real soon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just went to the conference finals, which I think ought to count as some form of experience. So
I would think so too. Same thing with we always talked about Booker, and he and I had a difference of opinion on Booker. I think right. once you get to the finals, you've already gone through three rounds, almost 20 games. You're already into it. You already know what takes place, and you're already six games in. You already know what to expect. It's just about a matter of execution and really the drive to do it. But yeah, when it comes to right now, Atlanta, I think is close.
I think you're spot on. I think Atlanta's right in that wheels of, you know, they kind of remind me of a younger, but potentially better version of the Portland Trailblazers from 99, 2000, 2000, 2001, that little run of Damon Stoudemire, Pippen. You know, I think Trae Young is, you know, much better than Damon Stoudemire ever was. But this team lacks like that Scottie Pippen kind of veteran guy who could still play. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a guy who sits on the bench and goes, you know what you ought to be doing. A guy who could be out there on the floor, like competing and playing hard. How Iguodala was like five years ago. In a really solid number two.
John Collins. Right. John Collins could be, but we're like,
hasn't. And that's the thing. It hasn't yet. So that's the question. And is Randall going to be, I mean, Julius Randall in New York is another one. And what the Knicks did to kind of like keep the band together, right? Like the Knicks had a pretty disappointing first round exit, I would say.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, let's try that again, which is, I feel very odd for how New York normally does things.
Yep.
So maybe it's just so crazy it might work, kind of a thing. I don't know. Was that the best that Julius Randle can be?
That's another thing. I mean, he just signed the fat contract, and we've seen what happens with these one-year wonders where they just elevate their game so much. They get that one all-star game under their belts, then they sign the big contract, and it goes all downhill from there. I'm not saying Julius Randle, that will happen to him, but he did shoot over 40% from three, and that's something he never came close to with New Orleans or L.A.
If he replicates that consistently, you know, 38 to 41, right? Like if he's hitting in that range for his career, he's going to be a player of impact no matter where he plays, no matter who he plays with. That's going to be difficult to stop just because once he gets going downhill, he's also kind of unstoppable for the most part. So he's not a bad free throw, not a great free throw shooter, but he's not a bad free throw shooter. And he's not a bad passer either. He can make basic plays, so.
They have like 500 guards on that team that are pretty talented. And right, I don't know though. I mean, it just seems like it's going to be hard for them to repeat that kind of success.
I feel that way. Those are the two teams that I'm like, what do you got again? Show us all again. Like cool Atlanta, cool New York. Like you did great last season. You've got pretty much the same teams, you know, the same core guys are coming back. Not a lot of core changes between the two teams. What can you improve? You know, how do you improve? Do you improve with your record? Do you improve in your playout? Like both, you know, so those are the two teams in the East that I think have both the most potential, but the biggest challenge to like start to break through and challenge for one of those top three spots.
We also mentioned some of the other teams that are there, you know, like you talked about with New York, Atlanta, there's Philadelphia, obviously. We talked about the top tier being with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. That's good enough to get you through in a regular season, but, you know, in the playoffs.
Will it be next season? Don't you feel the Ben Simmons question is the great unsettled issue of the offseason at this point?
Well, it's no question when you try to ask me for players and four draft picks, it's no question I'm not going to trade for him.
Right, right.
Not when he plays like that in the playoffs.
It's just out there, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not talking to anybody. He's not, you know, he's AWOL from, hanging with teammates or whatever.
Well, let's say there are teams out there that could surprise and, you know, break up the party, so to speak. I mean, I know you mentioned Boston, which some people are on the fence on as being a competitive team and maybe not being so competitive, maybe just like sneaking to a play-in or the back half of the playoff teams. I think that there are a couple surprise teams in order. I think one of those teams that could surprise is Toronto. If they get healthy and they get their mind right, I think they've got enough wing players. In fact, they have a one thing that I think every other team wants, and that's a plethora of wing players galore that are all long arm, play good defense, and are able to go ahead and stretch the ball out. And so I'm hoping that, there's some good things for them, for the people of Toronto. But I also think that Indiana, you can't sleep on them with Rick Carlisle. He's not there to tank. I don't think they have enough talent around the team yet, around Sabonis. Yeah. I'm not sure Sabonis is a number one guy.
I mean,
is he?
No, I mean, I think he has as much to prove as Randall or Young. Hasn't had much of a, you know, of all the three, Trae Young has obviously taken the team the furthest, had the most playoff success to date. I think they need great play from other guys other than Sabonis. I think he can be a number one in the same way that Jokic is, but he's not the scorer. He doesn't have that same scoring mentality, I feel like, and just isn't. He's just like a light version of that, and he needs somebody at least as equal. In the same way that Joker needed Jamal before he became who he was. You know, when they were first coming up, it was kind of more of like an even-handed 1-2 punch, and then, you know, that changed. The knee injury, of course, set Jamal Murray back. So hopefully, he gets. We see some more basketball from him soon. But Indy has a shot. I'm not. I don't know. The thing with the East is those three.
It's, teams, to me, it's more competitive though than it ever has been before. These teams definitely are a lot better.
Yes. Up and down the division. I mean, even Charlotte's going to be a pretty tough, you know, play in the regular season. They're going to ball hard. You know, they've got. I love that it might be the ball duo out there.
No, that's a while away. I mean, I understand. LiAngelo has been playing pretty good, but I still think that's going to get him an end of roster two way or G League at best right now. But at least he now looks like he might have a future, so that's good for him. But I think Indiana is still a step away. Charlotte still is a step away.
And those are the teams that I feel like in this modern NBA, you know, they're the two small market teams that just can't seem to like figure it out in the same way that Milwaukee did, right? Like Milwaukee was able to figure. I mean, some of that's like they were lucky enough to draft Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you know they treated him right, and they, you know, they helped nurture his game, and they never gave up on him, and so on and so forth. I mean, it takes that level of commitment from a small market team, right? Like you need to say to somebody, like, you might not be great for like 8 years or 5 years or whatever it ends up being, but like, we're with you all the way. Same way Mark Cuban was with Dirk Nowitzki. Frankly, you know, he rode Dirk Nowitzki for 21 years, and that's kind of astounding. So, you know, those two small markets, and Orlando, you know, obviously there's a few teams that are just basically not in it at all. You know, Washington is basically, what are we going to see? Where does Bradley Beal end up? East or West, contender or rebuild? You know, what's happening with Bradley Beal? Orlando, if anybody can stay healthy on that team, they might fight for a play-in, but, you know.
We didn't mention, though, Chicago. Chicago had a great offseason. But they don't play defense. Well, Caruso better be ready because he might be the only one that plays defense on there. But, you know,
Alonzo plays some D. He's maybe not the stat guy, but he's a ball hound.
He's a good team defender. I'll give you that. But this team is going to be all offense for the majority of time in Chicago. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. I think they are a little bit on the upswing, especially after that kind of offseason, the kind of money that they're spending. So they better have a playoff team. I think that's the directive and the ultimatum. And then last but not least, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Detroit Pistons. Detroit, obviously, with Cade Cunningham. This is going to be a big headache year. This is going to be a growing year for him. He's going to take a lot of growing pains. Yeah. We're going to see what he's made of out of it. I think by the end of this year, we're going to see if he's going to be able to advance to that next level. So we'll see on that. What are your thoughts on that? Or also as well, Cleveland. Cleveland, I don't know what they're doing. They pay players like Jared Allen, like they're going to be a contender sometime soon. Yet when you look at the team, it just like it's just getting started.
Well, yeah, I mean, who are they building around over there? Like, is it?
Well, I'm hoping it's Evan Mobley.
But is it? I mean, right? Like, yeah. But Kevin Love is definitely the highest paid player, so you know they want to ditch Kevin Love's salary in any way, shape, or form. I don't know how they're going to do that this season.
Yeah, it's going to be touchy. And a Colin Sexton, I know whether they're going to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's one of the few. You know, I'm kind of amazed he didn't get a deal before even Schroeder did, which is, you know.
Well, he wants a max. He wants a max or close
to it.
He's not.
He's not. You're crazy, bro. But. That's a whole other topic of debate. But yeah, I mean, those teams are certainly, I feel like, you know, you could put Houston, Minnesota, OKC, Cleveland,
Detroit.
I think Detroit's probably even a step below those guys in terms of like having the ability to like have a breakthrough season and be okay. Like, oh,
they're going to be the bottom of the barrel. You think?
I think so, because like who on Detroit? I mean,
you're talking Kate Cunningham. Jeremy Grant.
I mean, I guess you could say that. If he can play as well as he played. When he played healthy and well, then and Cade can be solid, they can make a little bit of damage. But you know, like we were saying earlier, the East has gotten so competitive. They don't have like Houston. John Wall could have like a revived season, right? And like pull a Chris Paul and like take a bunch of nobodies to like a play-in game and like, you know, challenge for an 8th seed or whatever.
Yeah.
There's nobody like that. Is I guess what I'm saying on Detroit.
Where if Christian Wood and John Wall blow up, right? Then you've got, you know, and then obviously you have Jalen Green there. You know, he's a superstar in the making. I think he's going to be someone that you got to watch out for. He's looked incredible in summer league, so I think he might end up being better in the long run than Cade Cunningham. But we'll wait and see on that one. I'm still keeping my eyes open on that. So. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I get you on that. That Detroit right now is probably the team with the least amount of talent and the longest way to go at this time.
Just no way to break through in the East. I mean, outside of like, you know, everybody on Brooklyn dies and, you know, like Embiid and Simmons duel atop bridge and stab each other with rapiers. You know, that's the only way they're going to punch through this season into a playoff conversation. So.
Right.
I don't think they have that. I mean, you never know. You know, injuries are what's going to. That's the thing with the East. It's like those first three teams are also the most injury prone. Not Milwaukee so much, but definitely Philly and definitely Brooklyn had an astounding number of injuries and games in this to their core three guys, to the point that it did seem to affect the team in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I don't know. Who wants to win the regular season more in the East is going to be a really interesting question.
It will be a really interesting question as it goes along for this season. And I appreciate you giving your thoughts on the Eastern Conference. Got some great conversations on the way, still yet to come in the coming weeks, especially with this guy. He is going to go ahead and be a great part of what we're doing here. And I cannot thank you enough for his thoughts on the NBA at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.